You want to stay with us here on News Night. I will take your comments on the stories you'll hear here on the show, 055-11-11-997. And we start tonight on the controversy that has erupted over pronouncements by the national chairman of the NDC on PM Express last night. The New Patriotic Party and the Convention People's Party have come to the defense of the Jean Mensah-led Electoral Commission, rejecting the National Democratic Congress's harsh criticism of the election management body. Now, this response follows the NDC chairman, John Sisulu Nketiah's call for the immediate removal of EC Chair Jean Mensah and her deputies, citing alleged gross incompetence and electoral mismanagement. Now, speaking on PM Express last night, he claimed the trio have consistently failed to conduct credible elections and warned that the unresolved electoral stalemates point to negligence or constitutional incompetence. He says they must all go.
We are having a wrong election management body in place. And so that is a subject of reset in future.
Resetting the EC?
Sure.
What does that mean?
It means that bringing it back into an institution that is fit for purpose. The way it is existing now, it's not fit for purpose. Because you cannot have, with all the laws that we have, you cannot still be having an election that will go into a stalemate. There is no anticipation of any stalemate in elections in any of our laws, unless people don't want to do their work well. And so it's a clear case of negligence or inability to perform its functions. So it's a good reason why the Electoral Commission needs to be reset. And that is not the only issue. Remember, 4 years ago, there was the issue of SAL. A whole constituency went unrepresented for 4 years. And then, so when this commission, as presently constituted, took over the reins of the Electoral Commission, they have never done an election that is satisfactory. These two major elections, the first one, one constituency, went unrepresented for 4 years. And then their second election is this one. And then with the by-elections, Ayawaso West, Wogon, everything has been removed. So there is overwhelming evidence that this commission is not fit for purpose. And if any serious country will want to maintain this type of electoral commission, then I don't know what the country is about.
So there will be a change at the EC leadership?
There has to be a change.
Jean Mensah must go?
Yes, I think the three top leadership must all go.
So that will be the chairperson yourself and her two deputies.
Deputies. Yeah.
Jean Mensah, then Bosman Asare, and the, I believe you've been working, he's not always in the news.
Tete. They must all go. They have mismanaged the commission so badly.
Well, the main opposition MPP, Dave, jumped to the defense of the Electoral Commission, dismissing the position of the national chairman and resolving that they will fight if indeed there's any attempt to remove Jean Mensah and her deputies. The Deputy General Secretary of the MPP, Hana Mohammed, admits there were challenges but insists the 2024 polls were credible.
Yes, I'm very much satisfied with the performance of the Electoral Commission from the onset to date. That is his opinion on those persons. It's not based on his assessment of their work, because they have already have a predetermined mindset for these offices before they came to power. But if you want to ask yourself, in the last election, all the performance of the Electoral Commission's work, even in 2020, there was no any budgetary allocation from elsewhere. We did not ask for any assistance from any other foreign agency in terms of performance of the Electoral Commission's function in terms of budget. If they feel that because we had followed a certain process, and this was because of breaches, they should go and look for anything that they want to look for, because they have already made their mind to send them off. But for me, from the objective point of view, I'm very certain that the Electoral Commission successfully, over the period, not later today, have performed creditably. And I believe that even in the state of Africa, West Africa, people are clapping for Ghana in terms of us being able to distinguish ourselves in terms of electoral process, dispute management, and also the outcomes of elections in Africa.
Well, the MPP is not alone in this. We're also hearing from the CPP. They've acknowledged issues as well, but they say they are not. Those issues aren't enough to warrant the removal of the chairperson and her deputies. The General Secretary, Kwame Abuchu, says they will only back a petition to remove the two if there is solid evidence.
If there had been a fraud register, that would be a substantial issue that we would have to deal with now. But from everything that has happened, we feel that bar Ablekum Malone, the election has been run successfully. This is not the first time that we've had electoral issues. I think we would say that we would let the committee do its work. But for now, we do not think that yet. Until we see further evidence, because I also speak with the additional hats as a legal practitioner. And I think that all these things will be based on the evidence that will be brought to fore. However, the fact that there have been infractions does not mean that the electoral commissioner was negligent in performing their duties or willfully caused those infractions. But from where we stand, we have seen those infractions. We do not see any reason to lay it at the feet of the electoral commission. However, that will depend on the evidence that will come out. If the evidence comes out, and we realize that indeed it can be substantially laid at their feet, then we just have to separate the court with their approval. But for now, we, out of an abundance of caution, we just want to allow the committee to do their work. And then others have stated that given the heavy weight of Honorable Asiedu Fetia, he shouldn't have put that to this. But I do.
So that is the CPP's position on the matter. We're also hearing from civil society today, the Director of Policy Engagement at the CDD Ghana, Kojo, Dr. Kojo Asante, says it's concerning that a party chairman is raising this issue, warning that removing EC commissioners only tackles the symptoms. It believes that the deeper problem of politicization can only be fixed through constitutional reforms.
The rules of the game that basically structures the way individuals behave. I think in the Electoral Commission's case, because you had somebody like Dr. Farijan there for, you know, for about two decades, it creates a certain a practice that the commission is a sole commissioner instead of a commission. And that has become an issue for many, many people, and even internally for staff and so on. So if we want to really address the problems and make the Electoral Commission independent, you know, like even, for example, it doesn't say in the appointment of the Electoral Commissioner that you have to be politically neutral, like written expressly. So we've had situations where people who were known to be actively party people appointed the Electoral Commission. And that then creates, you know, concerns. So we have to change the rules clearly to state that if you are going to be taking a position in the Electoral Commission, there must be clarity that you are not politically affiliated. You know, so I don't think you solve that problem with just removing people. If this government, after we go through a process even where it leads to the removal of the whoever you bring there will be seen as representing the governing party and not an independent institution if the rules don't change because of the kinds of discretion and a legacy posture that has developed over the years. So for me, we have an opportunity with this constitutional timeline, if by God's grace the report even comes out maybe at the end of September, we can put our energies in trying to change at least the non-entrenched causes that, you know, affected that, and begin to, you know, change the way we govern in this country. I think that's the solution. Otherwise, we are just basically just piling up our problems. It doesn't take away the perception issues and so on.
Well, what do you make of the demands by the national chairman that the EC chairperson and her two deputies must be removed, and the positions expressed by both the MPP and the CPP? Where do you stand on that particular subject? I want to hear from you. 0551111997. Send me a WhatsApp on that. I want to take it to Parliament now, where the minority on the Energy Committee there, they are up in arms over the latest electricity tariff increase, insisting that there is no justification for the hike. The Public Utility Regulatory Commission, PULC, had announced a 2.45% increase in tariffs, and that will take effect from July 1. I want to bring in parliamentary correspondent James Avegi, who was in Parliament and covered this press conference for us. James, so why is the minority unhappy?
The ranking on the committee, Honourable George Abuaji, indicated that from their own understanding, there's a formula that determines whether or not there should be an increase in electricity tariffs. And those include the price of crude and fuel on the global market as well as in the country. Other factors would also include the exchange rate and the inflation rate of the country. And so from where they sit, all of those three factors have been stable in the past few months as we speak, especially in this quarter, before, ahead of this quarter adjustment. And so they do not understand why, with all these factors stable and some even decreasing, especially with regards to inflation, the PRC adjustment would rather come out with an increment and not a reduction.
The factors that can cause is fuel prices, because about 70% of our generation uses fuel, means gas, and then HFO and LCO. Even much of the generators are double cycle, which means they can use gas and HFO. So if HFO or LCO goes up, you can use gas. And I know much of them are using gas. So, and they have about 30% is hydro, that's renewables, hydro and solar and others. So increasing fuel, because gas price has not gone up, exchange rate is going down. These are some of the factors. Exchange rate, the highest for this year was, 15.527 dollars. Okay, that was the highest in this year. The lowest was 10.20. Currently, exchange rate is 10.30. So, why increasing? And inflation rate. Okay, these are the three factors. The inflation as at March was 22.4%. April was 21.2%. May, 18.4%. And then June, the research says it's going to be around 16%. So all the three factors, it doesn't has to be an increase because all the factors are going down.
And I want to bring in right now George Kwame Abuaji. He is a ranking on the Energy Committee in Parliament. And George, you indicated today that beyond your press conference, you want to hold the PRLC before you to answer questions. But they've explained how they came to the conclusions that they did that led to the increase in electricity tariffs.
Thank you, my brother. I've chanced upon a letter purported to come from the outfit of Public Utilities Regulation, stating the factors that I said tariffs can be increased when these factors are up. But my brother, you and I know very well that these factors are not up. they are down. They need rather have to even decrease the tariffs, not increase it. So I don't see why they have to increase the tariffs. So I've complained to the chairman of the committee for him to inform the minister for PUIC to come and explain themselves, because as I was saying, the highest exchange rate that has gone up this year was around 15.527 cedis to the dollar, and the lowest was 10.20. Currently, as I said, is 10.30, including inflation. All are down. Gas price, that they are quoting that the gas price is up. In the budget, the weighted cost of average gas price was increased to 8-point-something dollars. So what are they telling us? So they should come again.
Have you factored in into this argument that the increase was 2.45% and that it could have been more if not for these very positive indicators you just talked about?
No, they increased the tariffs to 14.74 or 75% recently, if you could remember. Okay? And now, what has caused this to for them to also increase? Because things are going down. The factors are going down. So you increase 14.7% and you are increasing again. Why the factors are going down? Rather, you have to even decrease it.
That's an assumption, right? Yes, some of the indicators are very positive.
It's not assumption. Inflation rate, please check last month and this month from statistical department and find out. Check exchange rate from Bank of Ghana.
The PULC statement actually makes the point that they consider the average inflation rate of 20.67%. They consider the Ghana cedi to US dollar exchange rate of 10 cedis, 30 pesos to the dollar, and an increase in the weighted average cost of gas.
Yeah.
Right? So at least for the weighted average cost of gas, you talk about an increase. I mean, you have to consider all the factors.
That is what I'm telling you, that check the budget for this year. The weighted average cost of gas has already been increased. It was stated in the budget from 7.47, I don't have the document with me here, 7.47% to 8.something%, $8.something% already. And that is where they factored it when they were increasing it to 14.75%. So what has caused it to increase now, the gas? The gas hasn't gone up, aside what was stated in the budget.
So you expected a decrease in tariffs?
Yes, I should expect.
By how much? If you're doing the calculations now, you should know by how much you should have.
I've not done that yet, but at least looking at the indicators coming down, which means there should be a decrease. Once all these three indicators are going down, unless there is something they have to let us know. That's why I inform my chairman that when he comes, then he should come and inform us, tell us what actually causes the increase.
Has the chairman agreed that this invitation will be extended to the PULC?
Yeah, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. He has to do it. That is our work. We have oversight responsibility over the energy sector. So if something is going on wrong, I need to complain it to my chairman first. And then my chairman will take it up to the minister. Then the minister also carry on our advice.
I'm grateful. That there is George Kwame Abuaje, is a ranking on the Energy Committee in Parliament. Well, the new tariffs will take effect on July 1. And I want to hear your thoughts on that. Also, I'll be sharing them with the rest of the world pretty shortly. 055-111-1997. Now, tonight, government finds itself in hot waters as the United States formally notifies Ghana of its inclusion on a watch list for potential visa restrictions. Now, Foreign Affairs Minister Sam Okudzeto-Ablakwa confirms the U.S. has now cited high student visa overstay rates as a main concern, warning that Ghana risks penalties unless the situation improves. While urging calm, government insists the issue does not rise to the level of terrorism or criminal non-cooperation that other flagged nations face. He was addressing a news conference just minutes ago.
Has created considerable anxiety, and that report came to all of us as a surprise. I can confirm to you this evening that the government, led by the Honorable Foreign Minister, has engaged U.S. officials. We've had very productive meetings. The U.S. authorities have now formally brought to our attention, so it is no longer a leaked report. The ban, according to U.S. officials, will affect countries not complying with some 12 items. Those 12 items, as they have formally communicated to us, they are varying. They cut across a wide array of matters of concern to U.S. authorities, including terrorism, countries that fund terrorism, state-sponsored terrorism. It includes countries that have become havens for violent extremists to operate, with overstates. So countries that have a high rate of overstates. The U.S. officials have communicated to us that the challenge we face really relates to overstays, particularly with students, the students who we have been sending abroad. So formally communicated to us that 21% is the default rate, 21% of students who have completed their courses have refused to return, according to U.S. data. They have told us that the allowance, they will permit countries doing below 15%. But if you are doing above 15%, then you will be flagged for further action. The engagements, I must say, are going well because the U.S. authorities have confirmed that apart from overstays, all those really very, if you like, troubling matters to do with terrorism, we have so far been formally notified of 188 Ghanaians on President Trump's deportation list. And our embassies in New York and Washington have been complying with. We take the view that Ghana's area of concern, which has to do with overstays, is not that severe. That should put us in the category of some other countries, particularly those who are sponsoring terrorism and who are harboring terrorists.
So that's the update from the Foreign Affairs Minister there. We are on that watch list. We've been giving 60 days to rectify. If we do not rectify, we are going to be banned from entering the United States. And this will be a complete, total ban. So nobody from Ghana can travel to the United States unless they find a solution to this. There's more to this because this press conference literally just ended. And we'll be bringing you a fair clarity on that. You want to join my colleague on Blessed Sogon, join us right now as he gets further clarity to this particular matter and how the government plans to fix this before the deadline given to Ghana expires. I want to hear from you on that also. Well, let's go back to some partisan politics now, still having to do with that democracy. It is now confirmed the government of the National Democratic Congress will be pursuing constitutional amendment to elect municipal, metropolitan and district chief executives on a nonpartisan basis. The first attempt to amend the constitution collapsed under former President Nana Akufo-Addo when he insisted that election must be done on partisan basis. Now, the NDC objected to it then. In an interview on PM Express last night, the national chairman of the NDC, John Sesudin Nketiah, confirmed the party remains committed to having MMDCs elected and that they will push for this to happen on a non-partisan basis.
We think that There's a significant opinion that MMDCs ought to be elected. But as to whether they ought to be elected on partisan basis is another thing. So we stand for election on individual merit. And MPP thinks that we should elect on partisan basis.
Has he left it to the Constitution Review Committee to propose and push through? Or this is something that he will actively push through Parliament to get the changes done, not on partisan basis, but on the basis of people coming on their own merit?
He's expressing his opinion and then leaving it with the Constitutional Review Committee to present their findings. But we all know that there is a push for MMDCs to be elected. But the same cannot be said about the demand for them to be elected on partisan basis.
As a chairman, would you want this to be your legacy as well? That power that you have superintended, as you mentioned, over so many years, is it under your watch that that power got taken away?
No, it's not a pleasant activity trying to make a choice among party people as to who should be a DC. You are better off allowing them to go and contest, and then the winner is sworn in.
We're going to bury our head in the sand, but the parties will definitely be in there sponsoring candidates quietly, even if you say you should be elected on non-partisan basis.
You see, there is one thing people contesting on their own merit, even though they may be party people. Okay, that is what we know happens now. If I go to contest Sekwa Abuosu electoral area to Tain District Assembly, everybody knows that I'm a national chairman of NDC. So if I win, NDC will claim to have won. But I'm not being sponsored by the NDC. I think we are better off getting the elections than even if parties will wish the candidates aligned to their cause will win and so on. It is not the same thing as a party sponsoring the candidate.
So will the NDC get the backing of the main opposition MPP? Haruna Mohammed is a Deputy General Secretary of the MPP. He joins us on the line right now. Haruna, thanks for your time here on Newsnight. Now, has the party's position changed on this subject at all since the last time you attempted, when you were in government, to have the amendment done?
Thank you very much, Evans. I say good evening to your cherished listeners. Well, we had made an attempt to get this particular constitutional provision amended to a particular direction. Ghanaian citizens while listening to us, NDC in parliament, disagreed. And we are where we are today. They are also bringing it to parliament for constitutional amendment, or referring that to the Constitutional Amendment Committee. Once it is the Ghanaian citizens that will recommend for the amendment of that provision, and probably, I don't know, the lines that it will go, whether it will go to referendum, I believe that we have to leave it into the hands of the Ghanaian citizens. We have tried the other part and it didn't work. Let's see how this one also goes.
Yes, but as a party, do you support the election of MMDCs on non-partisan basis?
We had made a proposal that we needed them to be voted on partisan basis. We may have persons who within our party who disagree with the position. This has not come into fruition. It's not time for us to debate again. They are bringing it in a different direction. Let's see how this is going to pan out.
I hear you suggest that as far as you're concerned, your position from the last time still remains the same.
We haven't sat down as a party to decide a position on this matter right from the other departure when President Akufo-Addo had made that particular proposal on behalf of the party and government. We have not sat down to revise our notes and to change a position on that. And I cannot definitely say that we have changed a position or we have taken onto that particular position, because we need to take a decision at a particular point in time if the need be. but we have not had any discussion on this matter.
Thank you very much, Haruna Mohammed. That there is the Deputy General Secretary of the MPP. And I want to stay with the National Chairman of the NDC a while longer, because yesterday, as you may have witnessed, suspended Chief Justice Getu Tokunbo addressed an unprecedented news conference alleging a political plot to oust her. Well, Mr. Seyoudo Nketiah has dismissed the allegation, insisting the judiciary is being justifiably reset. He says the government deserves to be commended for resetting the judiciary through fair constitutional means.
I don't see it anywhere in the either in the party constitution or in the national constitution.
Also, in one of your final rallies in Medina on December 5th, one of the things you said for the first year, that is if you win, I urge all of you to let us focus on resetting the institutions of governance and democracy.
Yeah.
If we get the institutions right, then any development we undertake will be lasting.
Yes.
Is that why we are seeing, and at least that is the accusation, that you are resetting even the judiciary?
I don't see how it becomes an accusation. It must be a commendation.
The judiciary, the executive cannot reset the judiciary.
Is it the executive that is resetting the judiciary? When we say state institutions must be reset, we are not implying that it takes the executives to do it. We are implying that we must lead the state to be able to reset institutions, and that is precisely what we are doing. The constitution is being followed in the resetting, but any rule that is reserved for who corrects the judiciary?
It corrects itself.
That is why it is correcting itself, because the constitution shows how judiciary corrects itself. Apart from this process that is ongoing, the existing judiciary which she left, which part of it has been tempered with by the NDC government?
She's a figurehead. If you touch her, you touch her.
I know. This is the first thing that is being touched. But we are using the existing structures that she's superintended over to do that work. So if the judiciary was good when she was head, why does she think that the judiciary is not capable of undertaking this assignment of removing her in a fair manner?
Because you believe that the politicians in your party are manipulating that structure to get her out.
So is the judiciary capable of being manipulated by politicians? If that is the case, then it justifies every effort to reset the judiciary so that in future it never gets manipulated by politicians.
But one person taking out the Chief Justice is not necessarily reforming, another word for resetting, if you like, the judiciary.
But it begins from somewhere. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a first step. So if that is the beginning, and she herself, listening to her during these press conferences.
You listened?
It appears that everything that is happening in the judiciary now is wrong. But we haven't changed the judiciary she is superintended over. So if she thinks that the judiciary that existed is capable of being manipulated by politicians and so on, then she's confirming that there is a need for reset in the judiciary. So it should assist us to reset the judiciary.
By doing what? When she should assist you, how can she assist
by
you?
By complying with the law and then the processes that are there, cooperating with the committee as much as possible to state her case with the committee instead of press conferences. And let's see how that process leads us.
But will John Singer Seyoudo Nketiah run for president? Well, he says he will not rule it out, but it's too early.
But Global Info Analytics.
I saw it, but I don't think the basis is right. Because you must know who wants to contest first before you go to test how they will perform. I'm not sure they spoke to anybody. They are just testing their grounds without talking to anybody. That's number one. Number two, something that is 3 years, 4 years ahead. I mean, you cannot be predicting what will happen in 4 years and so on. So it's a good exercise, but it's I don't think it is very, very useful in predicting who emerges as our flag bearer in 2027.
You say they must know who wants to contest first. That's a certain case I want to contest?
We are not there yet. We are not there yet because we have responsibilities to undertake. And I've always been cautioning that there are certain things you don't do at certain times. For instance, we are trying to put ourselves together as a government to run the country and to discharge our obligations and deliver on our promises and so on. So immediately after you win elections, if you begin talking about who will be or how you are going to win the next elections, it could mean an insult to the population. And that's why I've been cautioning. That said, you have another problem of cohesion in the government. If you begin dividing yourselves into campaign groups, how are you going to stick together to govern the country? That's why I think that it is early days yet. 6 months into the life of a new government, we should not be talking about who replaces President Mahama in 4 years' time.
Mm. And I note your overriding point is we are not there yet.
We are not
too early.
Yeah.
But I also note that you did not rule it out completely.
No. No serious politician rules out any position. It's known by because you, it is ambition that drives politics. And if you rush to rule things out, you get to a point where you'll be at a corner where you regret having ruled out certain positions.
I want to bring in Musa Dankwa with the Global Info Analytics, executive director there. And Musa, it was your work that placed him fourth with 10%. He clearly isn't happy with that. He's seen it. He says, well, there's some fundamental flaws in there because, one, you need to check the people you put there if they're really interested in or not. And indeed, it's very too early to even measure. He's questioning what you were measuring. You've heard him. What's your reaction to him?
I mean, even posters know this and how they got going. We have not said either I'm contesting or I'm not. But the early start creating models, the better we are in the next election.
Unfortunately, Musa, we need to call you on a different line. We're having a stuttering line to you. We'll get him to explain to us why they put together that particular work. We've heard from Masiru Kete already making a point on that. James Ishan is with me with the business pretty shortly, and I will be sharing with you your thoughts on the stories that we brought you so far here on Newsnight. And if you're just joining us, a story that we've been learning about over the last few minutes from the Foreign Affairs Ministry, confirmation that the U.S. government has now formally written to us, putting us on that watch list for potential visa restrictions because our students traveling to the U.S. are overstaying their visas. We have more for you if you check our many social media platforms and myjoyonline.com. Also, Musa Dankwa is back with me. Musa, you're making you're reacting to Asiru Nketiah.
Yes, what I was saying is that, look, we know what we are doing and we know what we are looking for. What we do at this stage is to explore the potential candidates who might contest. And over a period of time, when announcements are made, or when it becomes clear that Mr. A or Mr. B is not going, then we will see where his supporters will gravitate towards. We are not saying we are polling NDC delegates, but there is a strong correlation between what NDC rank and file thinks and how the delegate behaves. So he may not see it useful at this stage, but we know what we are doing, and we know how useful it is going forward.
You heard his reaction when I asked him, well, he's not ruling it out. He says, yes, of course. I mean, no politician will rule out an ambition such as that. Does that, when you listen to that, does that, is there a confirmation that he's really nursing the ambition?
Well, I think he's going to contest, no doubt. There are certain key interested persons that we know from social media handles. We are picking signals that they will contest. And I think he is one of them, even though he hasn't confirmed or denied. We are also confident that the chief of staff will contest. The question is, which of the new or the new generation, no voters, minister will contest? Will Haruna contest? Will Ablaka contest? Will Atufo-Osin contest? This will be a critical decision for these young people to make.
This advert is FDA approved.
Welcome back to Business on Newsnight. I am James Ishan. Let's settle for the details now. First, professional bodies have given the opportunity to make input into the proposed value-added tax reforms recommended by the International Monetary Fund. At a consultative meeting organized by the Ghana Revenue Authority and the Ministry of Finance, Commissioner for Domestic Tax at the GRA, Edward Apintin Jamra, is urging members of the various business associations to review and make suggestions on how the VAT can be reformed.
People that we are gathering, and we'll get all of them to the tax revenue policy unit, which will be consolidated and considered when we are drafting them.
So how is it going to play with the proposal from the IMF as well? Are we going to see them being implemented hand to hand?
I think what we are getting from the IMF one is their recommendations, and then we are also soliciting input from our own people.
Edward Apintin Jamra as the Commissioner for Domestic Tax at the Ghana Revenue Authority. Now, still on tax-related stories, tax expert Professor Abdulali Nachas kicked against government's decision to shift its inefficiencies in the power sector to citizens to pay for accumulated debt in the energy sector through taxes. Government recently passed the 1 cedi fuel levy under a certificate of emergency to address debt in the power sector, but had to suspend it following the Iran-Israel war, which caused instability in the prices of crude oil prices on the global market. Speaking at the program on corruption today, organized by the Media Foundation for West Africa, Professor Ali Nachau questioned the reason behind the levy, which the Ministry of Energy has hinted will be reintroduced soon.
When government introduced 1 cedi per liter, I said, no way. Why should citizens pay for inefficiency? And a lot of people, why are you talking like that? I said, why was ESLA levy instituted? Who has told that how ESLA is performing? What is in there? How much has been collected? Why introduce? Because like I said, in every situation that comes, whether financial, economic, health, is avenue for corruption. And if is it inefficiency of ECG trying to raise revenue from people consuming their product, don't levy it on the ordinary citizen. And what happened a few weeks ago?
Professor Abdullah Ali Nachian is a tax expert. Now to the banking sector. The banking industry's non-performing loans ratio has reduced to 23.6% in April 2025 from 25.7% in April 2024. The Bank of Ghana has revealed in at May 2025 Banking Sector Development Report. When adjusted for the fully provisioned loan loss category, it declined to 9% in April 2025 from 11.11% in April 2024. The following report has more.
The decrease in the NPL ratio was attributable to the high growth in total loans relative to the growth in NPL stock. The industry's NPL stock grew by 8.7% to 21.7 billion cedis in April 2025, up from 20 billion in April 2024. The composition of the NPL stock indicated that the private sector accounted for the largest share of non-performing loans, in line with its larger share of industry credit. The proportion of NPLs attributable to the private sector picked up by 93.4% in April 2025 from 91% in April 2024, while that of the public sector decreased to 6.6% in April 2025 from 9% in a similar period in 2024. Agriculture, forestry, and fishing sectors recorded the highest NPL ratio of 62.1%, up from 58.7% in April 2024.
And that was a news desk report. Now, the chairman of the Chamber of Oil of Bulk Oil Distributors, Gabriel Kumi, is calling for more fuel storage facilities across the country to help Ghana withstand global oil shocks. Speaking as part of the Joy Business Economic Forum, Mr. Kumi said the country's limited storage capacity leaves it vulnerable to price volatility and supply disruptions.
In the medium to long term, however, we can consider investment in more storage infrastructure, especially outside the Tema enclave, to ensure more storage security to the country outside the Tema enclave.
Okay.
As we speak now, I think about 85% of our storage facilities are located in Tema. And that's one alone is not good enough. We should spread the tank farms.
Gabriel Kumi is the chairman of the Chamber of Oil Marketing Companies. And that's all for business on Newsnight. I am James Ishan. Sports is next with Musbao.
Yes, well, Kumasi Asantekon and Krai Hatafoka set to renew their historic rivalry in the 2025 Ghana President Cup, which is set to take place on Sunday, the 6th of July, at the Accra Sports Stadium. This will be the 10th edition of that very tournament, intended to honor the sitting president of the republic. President John Mahama is expected to be in attendance. To boxing now, because attention remains on the resignation of Abraham Nikwe Korte as president of the Ghana Boxing Authority. And boxing trainer and board member of the authority, Carl Loco, has welcomed the president's resignation, insisting that it was a step in the right direction.
This is a surprise to me, because I am on the board as executive member. I'm asking myself what exactly happened here. But at the end of the day, he is the man in front, he's the man in charge. And if he's saying that this is personal to him, it will be difficult for me to say anything, the reason why of this resignation. But it is boxing that we all cherish, and it is boxing that we have to wish well for. I would say that he has done his part. It is good news for boxing.
Now, meanwhile, the communication director of the authority, Mohamed Amin Lamte, has revealed that the resignation of the president was due to a fallout with the sports minister.
Papano, Leon Fano, ever since Nigerian boxing, as a medical council minister.
Abraham has not been well. There has been issues after the death of the Nigerian boxer. Sports minister had told him he can't work with him. The two belong to the same political party, but could not work together. Abraham has also lost his elder sister, and so he decided to resign. It is not as if he is being paid. He felt it was time to go for someone to come and continue.
It's better I need to take leave. I was a mentor.
That's Mohamed Amin Lamte, the communication director of the Ghana Boxing Authority. Well, we'll wait to see how all of that leadership issues at the Ghana Boxing Authority will be resolved. Even if that's it for sports.
Well, thank you very much. And it's raining heavily right now, and I have some bad news, especially if you live along the coast, particularly in Keta, because the Ghana Met Agency has issued a warning about dangerous sea conditions expected to last for about a week, starting tomorrow. Now, wave heights are forecasted to peak at 2.8 meters, significantly above the safe threshold of 1.5 meters. According to the local safety standards, wave heights above 2.5 meters are classified as dangerous, posing serious risks to fishing, transportation, and coastal activities. Thankfully, we can speak to the Met Office on this. Adom Deche is a principal meteorologist at the Marine Unit of the Ghana Meteorological Agency and joins us on the line right now. Adom, so how terrible is this with the wave levels going up by 2.8 meters?
Thank you very much. My name is Adom Deche from Ghana Meteorological Agency. We have an important safety message about the sea for Friday, 27th June, and Sunday, 29th June, 2025. WMO definition, our purpose is to save life at sea. So we have locally agreed threshold for significant wave height. Very high waves are coming on these days, that is Friday and Sunday. Wave height between 0 to 1.4 is described per our local understanding as calm. And wave height from 1.5 to 2.4 meters is described as rough. And significant wave height from 2.5 and above is described as dangerous. So on Friday and Sunday, the waves will be in the dangerous zone, about 2.5 to 2.8 or higher than that. So for the purpose of saving life, we need to issue a warning ahead of time so that the fishermen will prepare. They understand it. So we issued USSD code as well to give them the state of the sea. That one gives the range from the very day to the next 3 days. That gives them the 4 days significant wave height so that they can be prepared and leave for fishing.
What about those who live along the coastlines, particularly in areas like Keta?
Yeah, areas like Keta, because of the low-lying nature of Keta, if you have a wave height of 1.8 or 2.5, the elevation of Keta is about 1 meter or a little bit above 1 meter over the sea surface. So if you are reporting a significant wave height of 2.5, you can imagine, even if it is 1.5 and you subtract 1.5 from 2.5, it means we have a leftover of 1 meter, which can bring coastal inundation.
So what do you advise for those living in Keta, for example, and other low-lying coastal communities?
Our advice is to listen to the Ghana Meteorological Agency updates, and they should not leave for fishing. And they also avoid placing things along onshore.
Should they still stay in their homes or should they evacuate and wait for this to recede?
Oh, depend on the distance from the coastline. Those from far away can still live, but those very close to it can try to move away a bit. It's just temporary. It's about 12 hours from midnight, that is from tomorrow, midnight up to midday, the wave is expected to come down. That is Friday's own.
Well, thank you very much. Very good advice indeed. So you have been warned. Pay attention to that if you are affected, if you're a fisherman or you live along the coast in low-lying areas, take the advice of the Met Office. And that's it for Newsnight tonight. You want to stay for a personality profile coming right up. And you want to stay for that personality because it's going to be pretty exciting, I promise you. And just before we go, though, a few of your messages that have come through on the WhatsApp console, JDM does not need debugging. Open on the